We were talking about this open letter to the mayor, which some of the media organizations picked up and printed. And it basically talks about, dear Mayor Lightfoot, we're at a crossroads and we need to figure out how to get our hometown and this town that we love out of this and into the next chapter and do that with success and bring everybody together to do it. Here's part of it. Dear Mayor Lightfoot, today Chicago, like cities across our nation, is at a crossroads. The pandemic, racial strife, and recession are a triple threat to our hometown. Today, as business leaders responsible for employing thousands of Chicagoans, we're stepping up to stand with you and the Chicago Community Trust. We love Chicago. We are here to stay, and we are committed to contributing to the task at hand. Our future is very bright indeed. There's more to it. I didn't read the whole thing, but it's signed by CEOs, leaders of business community, some of the largest employers, execs from the Cubs, Sox, Blackhawks, the civic community, folks like Valerie Jarrett, people in the theater, and all kinds of things. Lots and lots and lots of folks signed this to say, hey, let's figure this out, Chicago. Let's come together. The first name on that list is Kip Kirkpatrick. He's a senior partner at Vistria, founding partner, co-chief executive officer at Vistria, a private investment firm. And Kip, thank you for calling into WGN today. It's good to hear from you.
Thanks, Hannah, for having me.
I just wonder, right away, all of us were thinking in the media community, hey, well, why write this letter? What is this really about? Is there another sort of agenda? It seemed very pro-mayor, and is it just sort of to say, hey, mayor, we've got your back as you lead the city forward to the future?
Yeah, Anna, I know it's interesting times we're living in and everybody's looking for a story, but honestly, there was nothing too exciting or too unusual here. My partner, Marty Nesbitt, and I were sitting around months ago talking about how much we love the city and all the issues that we face as a city, and we just thought, you know, how could we maybe reach out to some of our friends and be positive and think about, as difficult a time as it is, how do we emerge from this and really make Chicago better? And as we made some of those phone calls, you know, as you mentioned, it was not really surprising, but it was amazing how much people love Chicago. And this idea of being collaborative and being supportive, it just kind of turned into a letter.
Yeah, and I honestly was part sort of wondering what was behind it, because that's what reporters do. We do wonder that stuff. But then partly I was just sort of like, wow, I was relieved. I was happy to see folks like yourself and all these other captains of industry and people who run businesses in here and just showing their commitment to the city and their commitment to coming together to re-envision some of the things about our city and bring us forward after a pandemic that ravaged finances and so many other things. You talk about racial strife and other issues facing our city moving forward. Will there be some sort of come togetherness that you're going to, you know, come up with some ideas about moving forward? What happens now that you have a letter and a willingness to do something? What's next?
Yeah, good question. I think obviously that's, you know, the harder part. I think we've really been inspired. The Chicago Community Trust has done a lot of work, and you know, they've tried to kick off this Together We Rise. I think all of the individual businesses, whether it be a focus on diversity, whether it be how do we help Chicago right now, I think everybody's trying to figure that out, and we certainly don't have all the answers, and we're not perfect, but I think everybody on that list is really trying to share best practices, what can we do. And it'll take a while to get this going, and there's no silver bullet to any of these issues. But, again, our focus was more, hey, you know, let's do this together. And, you know, hopefully, you know, if we talk again in 12 months or 24 months, we might have better examples of positive events that have come out of it.
What are those things that you're sort of looking at right now, things that can be done?
Well, I think we've certainly learn from others and what we would recommend. You know, at our own firms, we've really put an emphasis around diversity, equity, and inclusion. So our own hiring practices, it's forced us to look at how we can do that better. We happen to be an investment firm, so any firm, any company that we invest in, we're also imposing those same requirements. We've called together all our CEOs and we've traded ideas. You know, we're also thinking about not just how to do that with a stick, but also a carrot. We fundamentally believe that businesses that are more inclusive and focus on all stakeholders, not just the shareholders, you know, we believe that's the future of capitalism, are going to be valued at higher prices or higher values. So we've tried to also incorporate incentive plans for our management teams where they can actually make more money by being more inclusive or diverse. And then, as I'm sure you know, or your listeners have heard, you know, we do believe the small things matter too. So looking through your procurement strategies, who's your vendor base? Is your vendor base diverse? You know, are you also looking at small businesses? So, you know, there are a bunch of business practices like that, that we're trying to incorporate into our daily routine. And I think a lot of other businesses around Chicago are doing the same.
Yeah, it's good to see. It's good to see that happening and hearing about it, too, that systems are in place and that there is attention to that, because I think that's important. I think there is a concern right now in the business community, and maybe small business more so than the upper echelons, where there isn't as much of a pro-business environment, and that the governor's new loopholes, they say they're closing these business loopholes, and small businesses that have been hit pretty hard are feeling as if they're going to bear the brunt of that. They drive jobs. They're a big part of our economy, and I think that that's an important part of our economy to preserve too. Do you have thoughts about what's happening there, or do you hear from small business owners too? Are they included?
Yeah, no, we agree. It's not easy to be a small business owner right now. And I think part of, you know, what we've tried to focus on is we need the public sector and the private sector to have a better dialogue. I don't think the public sector can solve all our problems. I don't think the private sector can solve all the problems. And so that dialogue and trying to get that right for small businesses, and I think everybody playing a part, because every business really needs Chicago to be healthy, needs Illinois to be healthy. And I think we can all get wrapped up in our own individual businesses so much that we forget, you know, the broader society functioning well so that everybody can buy the products or services is really important. So I don't have all the answers, you know, for small businesses right now, but I definitely think we need a healthier dialogue between our, you know, governments and the private sector to get to good, you know, good solutions for everybody.
I don't know if you saw in the Wall Street Journal over the weekend, they talked about that the partnership for New York, not Chicago, but New York, they're very concerned because they've lost 300,000 residents in high-income neighborhoods that they've fled. They've filed a change of address form with the U.S. Postal Service, and they say they need those people. They need their businesses, they need their tax dollars, and that they represent an overwhelming percentage of the numbers taken in. And you hear that often, that argument about Michigan Avenue, that people say, well, why do we care so much about Michigan Avenue? That's where rich people shop. And then who cares? I mean, come on, we're putting too much attention there. And at the end of the day, you hear about the couple billion dollars it generates for the city and the percentages that it generates too. And I just wonder the thoughts and concerns about that we have also in the city about keeping people here and what to do to achieve that. I don't think we have the New York style exodus, but we certainly don't have great numbers here. And I wonder what you think would help us solve that.
Well, I think all we're saying is we got to lower the temperature a little bit on both sides, because, you know, I think it's easy to attack, as you said, sort of rich people or, you know, other sort of characterizations that I don't think are always sort of fair, and as we know, the world isn't that black and white. But New York, Illinois, California, I think people are moving and people do have options. So this dialogue, again, where we can have a healthy dialogue, not victimize one side or the other, you know, we all need to sacrifice a little bit. And again, one of our big themes is, you know, business needs to be more responsible going forward. And a lot of where we are is because business hasn't been. Business needs to be investing in communities, and it can't just be, you know, the haves and the have-nots. And so that's the opportunity, I think, coming out of this incredible pandemic we've all been through, is how do we make the world more fair and more just? It can't be about, you know, one side has more than the other. You know, we're really all in this together. So I think you raised the right questions. We certainly don't have the answers to that, but the spirit of the letter, and I think the spirit of Chicago in the past has been, you know, we can figure this out if we're all at the table trying to do that together.
Yeah, I'll just reiterate. I was so happy, so pleased to see you and all the folks that signed that letter. I mean, being who you are, to be this concerned about our city, that you're gonna come up with solutions and be part of the solution. And so I just thank you, Kip. Thank you for what you're doing. Never before have we need visionaries in the business community than we do right now. So thank you for stepping up and doing what you're doing.
Yeah, well, thank you for those words, and hold us accountable. We haven't done anything yet, but, you know, again, just trying to get the dialogue going, and hopefully over the next year or two, we can come up with some solutions.
All right. Well, I appreciate that, and we will. Hopefully you'll come back and talk with us again, Kip. Thanks for the time today. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Kip Kirkpatrick is his name. He's at Vistria, an investment firm there focused on building market-leading companies. Marty Nesbitt is his partner. They're the two top signers on that open letter to the mayor, which is really an open letter to the city about the future of our city and all the concerns we have as we emerge from the pandemic. Check it out, I think, in the Sun-Times if you want to take a look at it.